I'm going to call to order the Government Operations Reform Technology and Elections Committee. And the first item on the agenda is a confirmation, one of the rare confirmations that the House of Representatives does to the to any board, but this happens to be to the Campaign Finance and Disclosure Board. So if Mr. Gehring wants to walk us through why we're doing this and explain, and you do have members in your packet, a letter from the Speaker, and there's also a letter from Governor Pawlenty. So Mr. Gehring.
So Mr. Chair, today the House, or this committee at least, is voting to either approve or disapprove the appointments made by Governor Pawlenty to the Campaign Finance and Public Disclosure Board. This is a rare appointment process for the House. In fact, it is the only time when the House is required to give advice and consent on the governor's appointments to boards. Assuming the candidates pass the committee here, in order for them to be confirmed, they actually need 3/5 of the entire House to approve in order for the confirmations to be confirmed. And there's a whole series of qualifications for the board members, which I can go through if you would like me to.
Mr. Gehring, I don't know if it's necessary to go through the qualifications necessarily, but I think what I will do is have Terry Ashmore and Bob Milbert come up, and if they just introduce themselves for the record. And we don't have a quorum yet. We're short, I think, one. So welcome to the committee. Would you just both introduce yourselves and then give us a little background?
Good morning. My name is Terry Ashmore. I've served on the board for 3 years, and the governor has asked me to serve again. I'm grateful to be here this morning with you all. I currently work at the Basilica of St. Mary in Minneapolis as their managing director. Prior to that, I worked extensively in elections with the House Republican Caucus, recruiting candidates for them, worked for the Senate Republican Caucus, also worked for a couple members of Congress, Vin Weber, who was a member at that time in the 6th District of Minnesota, Representative Jim Lamstead in the 3rd District of Minnesota at that time. So my experience is really working with candidates, helping treasurers understand how to fill out those forms, those kinds of practical activities in the election process.
Thank you. Mr. Milbert.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Bob Milbert, and I'm a current member of the Campaign Finance and Public Disclosure Board. Prior to that time, I came into the legislature in 1986 with the chairman and served until 2002, and very much enjoyed my time here at the legislature and missed being here. I don't miss the I don't miss being here at 4 o'clock in the morning in June, but I do like to be here during normal working hours. So I empathize with you and hope that this year that things will change a little bit, and with any luck, maybe they will. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions. I served as the chair of the Campaign Finance Board during the last year, and I could just tell you that as difficult as it is to keep up with all the changes and nuances in the law, it's even more difficult when you're on the other end of the spectrum and having to make decisions, and all you get to do is find your friends. But we try to do the best job we can, and as Doug Kelly told me when I was first appointed, all we do is call the balls and strikes, and it's up to you folks to tell us how you would like our system of elections to be implemented, and what we do is exactly what you tell us to do. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Some of us prefer the analogy of golf where we call the penalty on ourselves, but we enjoy having you both. And I want to thank you, Ms. Ashmore and Representative Melbert, for serving on the board. It's a big commitment of time, and it also can be stressful. By the way, you would not have missed our experience on the rules debate at all. I think we now have a quorum, so with that, what we'll do, I think, is take care. We have the minutes ready to go. Representative Morgan, do you have a motion?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move the minutes of Tuesday, February 20, and Wednesday, February 21.
Is there Any discussion to that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Now, are there any questions to either one of our two nominees? No questions. Then I will move the confirmation of the appointment of Bob Milbert to the Campaign Finance and Public Disclosure Board. And I believe we have to do this in separate motions, members. So that would be my first motion. Is there any discussion to that? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion prevails. Then I will move the confirmation of the appointment of Terry Ashmore to the Campaign Finance and Public Disclosure Board. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion prevails. Any further questions? I have just one. Representative Milbert, what driver are you hitting right now?
R7 460.
And how many do you have in your garage?
Two.
Is that all?
Just one brake.
You've really cut down from when you were serving in the legislature. You used to have a couple of dozen.
Well, I just want to share something with the rest of the committee members. I brought the chair a gift when I first arrived this morning, and it's a gift that's come full circle. I don't know how many years ago that the chairman took it upon himself to have some Titleist balls embossed with the seal for the Minnesota House of Representatives. But they're now so old that I don't think I can hit them anymore. So give them back to where I got them.
Members, the Representative Milbert, at one time I was a golf professional. So my family has a history of golf professionals, my father, my cousins, my brother. So it runs in the family. Fortunately, I've had the opportunity and will continue to have the opportunity to play with Representative Milbert, but you're still not getting any strokes. So even with this, you're not. So thank you.
Thank you. Great to see you.
Great to see you. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, yes.
I'm wondering, Mr. Chairman, if you gave strokes away, if you were playing golf with a lobbyist or somebody else and you gave strokes away, I'm wondering if Mr. Milbert has an opinion on whether that would be an item of value.
Representative Broad, and I'm glad you brought that up. Ever since I've been in the legislature, I've gone on the principle that I will give no strokes away. If you want to play, we play straight up. Thank you for that observation. Members, the next item on the agenda is House File 1034. Richard, there he is. Representative. Representative Peterson, welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself.
Representative Aaron Peterson.
And Mr. Representative Rhodes, former Representative Rhodes, is back with us again.
Mr. Chairman, members of the Committee of State Architects should be here, but she's not, so I'm going to pitch in, and you'll find out that I have very little to say, but his amendment takes care of everything he needs to do.
I see an amendment coming, Representative Peterson.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Amendment to 1034, A07-0093 amendment.
All right. Representative... All right, I will move House File 1034 be recommended to pass and re-referred to Energy, Finance, and Policy Division. And okay. With that, is that the amendment? Or no. Why don't you explain to us the bill and...
The amendment's, Mr. Chair, the amendment's up here.
The amendment is here. Okay.
Yeah.
You got it. So do we have the amendment? We have the amendment. Oh, well, then explain both, the bill and then your amendment, and then I'll move the amendment.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair, committee. This short paragraph from the effective date of July 107 would be for the review and study of geothermal applications and as possible uses for heating and cooling in all building projects subject to the redesign review under the section and that received state funding. So it's... having our state buildings consider and look at preferences and replacement for geothermal heating and cooling systems, and there is no fiscal note. This amendment is necessary because of some Senate action, and today we have Mr. Rhodes and the state architect to explain a little deeper the need or the idea around this topic.
First, Sam Peterson, before we go to former Representative Rhodes, it's my understanding that I'm going to withdraw my motion because the bill has to go to finance first. So I'm withdrawing my motion, and then I will move that House File 1034 be recommended to pass and be re-referred to the Finance Committee. From there, it would then be referred to the division. So that is the motion before us. I will then move the AO7-0093 amendment that you just explained.
Correct.
So I'm moving that amendment to House File 1034. Any discussion on that amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion prevails. Hopefully, we have all the motions in order and the bill in order. And now to former Representative Rhodes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. This will match up to the Senate language that Senator Kugley has. This comes out of the district. And I have the state architect here who can answer any questions about what the bill is trying to accomplish or anything you want to know.
Welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself for the record.
Mr. Chair, thank you. My name is Heidi Myers. I'm a state architect.
Whatever you need to present,
please
do.
Thank you. The amendment allows the study for the geothermal alternative energy source to be put in the proper part of a design project. And by putting it in the pre-design, it's able to secure the funding, verify the intent that it is a good, feasible method to investigate. And before the project goes forward into the design phases and receives funding, then it is the proper place to have it in the pre-design.
Okay. Members, any questions? Representative House.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm not opposed to this, but the state architect commented that this allows, I see it more as it says we must. A little difference there, but I'm a little nervous. Maybe I shouldn't be, but where it says on line 9 of the amended bill, must be given preference when designing. I'm just nervous about that part. I would rather it said something different, but I don't have the right words, Mr. Chairman.
Ms. Myers, you want to respond to that, or Mr. Rhodes? On 1.9, on the delete everything amendment, Representative Howes has a concern about the use of the word must.
The first must I agree with because that is part of the pre-design process where the commissioner must review them. The one in line 9 could be replaced with given preference if it is feasible or if the life cycle cost is in its favor.
Representative Broad.
Mr. Chairman, I'm trying to also figure out the musts and the mays and things along those lines, but what I'm really wondering is what is inhibiting the consideration of this right now?
Ms. Myers?
Mr. Chair, nothing, except that this requires everyone that submits a pre-design for a capital budget request. So it does not prohibit them from doing this, but now they would be required to do it as an alternative energy source. The pre-design right now does contain requirement that they need to consider alternate energy sources in it, so this would be a little bit more solid.
Representative Broad.
That's good, Mr. Chairman, I think.
Representative House.
Thank you. Just to follow up. So what we would like them to look at all options, but I'm getting the impression they're not really doing that. And we're going to coax them along a little bit.
Ms. Myers?
Mr. Chair, they are not coaxed along. We have a pre-design manual, and we do the pre-design review for all state-funded projects, and it is a requirement in that pre-design to look at alternate energy sources.
Representative Cott.
Mr. Chairman and members, I looked at that second must, and I think it's appropriately alleviated by the when practicable in line 1.8.
All right. Thank you. Representative Howes, does that address your concern?
Mr. Chairman, I'm just one voice. I'm fine.
All right. Representative Hilke, I think, is next.
Mr. Chair, Representative Kahn made exactly the point that I was going to make.
Representative Kalin, are you going to follow up on that point, too?
I'm going to take us down a different road, if that's
thank
okay.
You.
Ms. Myers and Mr. Peterson, Representative Peterson, can you explain a little bit about how the energy savings might fit into the sustainable design guidelines that require state-bonded projects currently to come in at 30% better than the energy code?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the sustainable design guidelines are required for all new buildings, and this would be a requirement for ones that are also existing that would go through some major renovation work. So, this is for all building projects. This is the sustainable design guidelines are only for new buildings.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Ms. Myers. 2 points to that. One is on the energy efficiency bills that we're working through the process and should be heard in Energy Committee in the next couple of weeks. We'll be placing a priority on increasing energy efficiency across the board in all construction projects, which I think is a the governor has called us to do it, and I think we're all on board. So this gets us part of the way there, and I think we do need to look at some standards for and goals for existing and rehabilitation of existing buildings. And the other, I guess the other thing, there will be a bill coming up that I have that will come before this committee, I believe, that is a public building energy report card, a lot of the TIF requirements and others that will be hopefully searchable online and easily accessible. And so I think that implementing these technologies in our construction projects will help to build confidence that the money that we're investing in our construction projects is well spent and that we're doing everything we can to be misers with that money. And, of course, as my training's in architecture and planning as well, and though I don't have a stamp, you know, I think that these buildings are actually much more comfortable to live in and work in, and you know, the more energy efficient, the more comfortable and the higher production we get out of the folks who work in there. Could you maybe speak from your experience about very briefly about that piece of it?
Ms. Myers.
Mr. Chair, Representative, I agree that creating buildings that are more energy conscious is really important. And what the nice thing about the sustainable design guidelines is it looks at the entire project in a total context, a holistic approach. So you're not just looking at adding insulation to a roof. Well, what would happen if you did that? What would happen if you put more windows? You look at it in its totality. And so that is, we also use the sustainable design guidelines in our projects that are done for major remodelings. And when we can apply the standards that are, the guidelines that are set in that piece, we do apply them. So it's not that it's only for new buildings. We encourage the use of it for also remodelings when appropriate.
Representative Kim?
I think I'd just like to point out to the committee that just one example of applying these guidelines and increasing productivity, and I'm still trying to track down the exact study, but one of the energy efficiency champions that I know well, Amy Lovins, that I believe Representative Kahn is interested in some point bringing to the legislature, described a school of projects in Brazil that used natural lighting, you know, daylighting and glazing for energy efficiency savings. And what they found is that their standardized test scores went up and dental health increase, and I believe it's because of the exposure to vitamin D, but I think there's also something having to do with greater exposure to sort of the rhythms of the to actually not being isolated in fluorescent lights, but actually being exposed to the natural rhythms of the day and having better better regulated sleeping patterns and elsewhere. So, and knowing this from our experience as well, that we're happier when we have windows, that just ask our committee staff compared to our legislators. That we're much more productive I think even geothermal properties. We as human beings are much more productive given windows. So imagine how wonderfully productive our committee administrators and staff are now compared to how they could be if we had windows available to everybody.
Representative Kalin, I hate to think what's going on in this room.
We could even, Mr. Chair, we could be even more productive than we are now.
That's my point. Representative Peters.
No comment. Thanks for the interest.
No comment. Any further discussion? Representative Anderson.
Just a couple of questions. Would this apply to maybe communities that are doing different facilities and they receive bonding money from the state, you know, if they get a 50% match from the state of funds for local?
Mr. Chair, Representative, this would apply to all projects that are required to go through the pre-design. Pre-design is used for any project that receives state funding. That is $750,000 for state agencies and $1.5 for local units of government. $1.5 million, excuse me.
Okay, so it would include, those as well. Do we know when including this in the pre-design process, how much does that increase a pre-design?
Ms. Myers.
Mr. Chair, Representative, it would be insignificant. The total pre-design work, I don't foresee any extra work that a consultant would have to do. I mean, it would be some extra work, but the cost would be insignificant.
Okay.
Representative Anderson.
And then also, do we have any examples of commercial buildings that currently use geothermal in Minnesota in particular?
Ms. Myers? Or Representative Peterson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, in the town that manufactures them, Appleton, across the street, there's the parking lot that's open gravel, and underneath it is a series of pipes. And that's just one example. Ever since 9/11, this company has been sending many, many, many geothermal heat pumps to installations in Canada.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Anderson.
Representative Peterson. So they have data. How long have they been using this system?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. They have various mini systems running since about 1978, and they started in a garage in Elk River.
Okay. Is it
Representative Anderson?
Representative Peterson, is it possible to get information from them in particular, other than, well, and maybe, I guess what would be better probably if we had it outside source rather than the company that actually produces them,
yeah,
too. Is that possible? Do we have an example of that in Minnesota at all?
Representative Peterson.
Mr. Chair, Representative Anderson, I could check for you. I believe maybe the department might have some from some background, I would assume, or Commerce or Deed or somebody who's done some analysis. I don't specifically have it.
Representative Peterson, I think Representative Howes wants to add to this.
Okay. Yes, Mr. Chairman, Representative Anderson, Hunt Technologies in Pequot Lakes finished constructing a new building about 8 months ago, and they are doing exactly the same thing. They designed it themselves, installed it themselves, and it's working fantastically.
Representative,
and I'm sure they would send some information.
That would be wonderful. Is the department able to forward that on? Or?
Well, Mr. Rowe,
Chairman, members, this bill is brought by Senator Cooper and Representative Peterson because it's something in their district. This is not an administration bill. So I would have to think that Senator Cooper probably has the information.
Yeah.
Representative Kalin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Anderson, two weeks ago Friday, I was in Rush City at our high school, where they have had a geothermal system since 1993. And they were actually joking that for 13 years nobody paid any attention to it, and all of a sudden everyone's looking at them like they're a brand new technology. They have a little bit of natural gas supplement a couple weeks ago, 3 weeks ago when it was 20 below. They finally had to turn on their natural gas, but other than the cost of the electricity running the pumps, and they're decent size, but they're not massive. They have a real flat line on their budget item, on their line item for energy, in their high school. And actually, I talked to the high school students, they had no clue. I mean, you can't feel it at all. And it's provided a lot of stability to that school district to have this building that way. And I'll talk to Representative Peterson and see if we can connect with the business manager at the Rush City District. And it's a phenomenal system. I mean, you have two motors two pumps about this big that are running the whole thing, and that's all the energy input.
Representative Kane, they have Windows, too.
I believe that they're switching to Vista.
So it's not Apple 9.2. Never mind. Representative Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was just going to add one more bit of anecdotal evidence for Representative Anderson. I'm on the governing board of the Audubon Center of the North Woods, which is a relatively large facility that's located out sort of in the middle of nowhere, appropriately enough. And 2 years ago, we did a retrofit for the facility and installed a geothermal system, which has cut the heating and cooling costs of the entire facility by 90%.
Representative Peterson, welcome back. Did you have a question?
I just was going to make a comment. The first major enclosed shopping mall in the United States was Southdale, and that's heated and cooled by water.
Mm-hmm. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Chair, just one other question. On these systems, does it require additional land, or is this something that could be placed underneath the building itself, or how does that work?
Ms. Myers?
Mr. Chair, Representative, I have not done any work on the geothermal project, and so I'm not sure exactly of how much extra resources are needed. I understand that there is need to actually go underground, but I think that you're able to do it underneath the building at some of the times too, so you don't always have to have additional site.
Okay.
All right, Mr. Chair.
Representative Kim.
I can answer that really briefly, and in about 30 seconds I might exhaust my knowledge, but there are two systems. One is a sort of open loop system where you're pulling groundwater or ground source heat, extracting the heat from that, and then putting it in an open pond, essentially letting it settle down. I wish we had that at the legislature where we can settle down. But anyway, the other option is a closed loop system where you have two wells and you're returning, and the distance you obviously don't want to return close to where your initial source is, so there is a distance requirement sometimes. It depends on the volume, and Ms. Myers can correct me at any point if I'm misstating, but it essentially depends on the volume that you're pulling out, which then, of course, is related to the size of the building and the amount of heat that you have to extract. It's essentially, a heat differential equation. But so you can often do it within, it wouldn't surprise me if Southdale is, if they were using the systems that I'm describing, it wouldn't surprise me at all that they had several points in their whole complex, and even in the state office building, we have enough just with our little land around us. We would have more than enough to pull a system just on our side.
Any further questions? Seeing none, I'll renew my motion that House File 1034, as amended, be recommended to pass and be re-referred to the Finance Committee. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, committee members.
Next on the agenda is House File 15 or Senate File 19. Are we working? Which one are we working off of? Senate File 19. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Before Representative Hillstrom, you start. I believe that the motion is to send this to General Registry. Is that correct?
Correct.
So I will move that House File 15 / Senate File 19 be recommended to pass and be sent to the General Registry. And with that, Representative Hillstrom, present your bill, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We're working on Senate File 19, and I have to say that Senate File 19 has passed the Senate floor 64-0. What it does is it eliminates the Legislative Commission on Metropolitan Government. This is currently a commission made up of Senate members and House members that get together to talk about the issues regarding to the Metropolitan Council. The challenge of the commission is they really have no authority other than to send a report to the local government committee, for which I am the chair. And it is my intention to be doing the legislative oversight right in the committee. The committee met twice in the last 2 years. Prior to that, they met six times one year and four times another year. And other than that, there's been no activity of this commission. And I think if we're going to have real oversight, we ought to be doing it through the committee process. So with that, Mr. Chair, I'd ask for your support.
All right. Questions or comments? None? Representative Peterson.
I've had the pleasure of being on that commission the last 2 years, and she's absolutely right. It's just a process we go through, and there really is no significance to what we do.
All right.
Now I'll lose my job.
That will be a loss to the entire state, but we'll we'll live with it. Any further discussion? Seeing none, then I will renew my motion that Senate File 19 be recommended to pass and be sent to the General Registry. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay. Motion prevails.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members.
Members, just a comment about tomorrow. If the weather turns ugly late this afternoon and it looks like we're going to get a lot of snow, it is possible that we'll cancel tomorrow's meeting at 8 o'clock because it's difficult to get staff and members here. So if you'd watch your emails, particularly in the late afternoon, and if things are going to be bad, it's possible we'll cancel tomorrow's meeting. So with that...
Government operations, yeah. Does that include the weather?
Well, Representative Kahn, you have the finance division, so you have that. I just have policy.
Mr. Chairman, I will point out that I chaired the government operations committee for I don't know how many years, and we never canceled a meeting because of weather.
Representative Kahn, and that's exactly why we might.
We just, well.
I don't think we want to go any further down that line.
I was thinking, Mr. Chairman, of the old Boston Red Sox pitching schedule, which is spawn insane and pray for rain.
There's been one too many baseball today. One other announcement, members. House File 483 will not be heard if there is a committee hearing tomorrow. I've spoken with Representative Slawick, and she is going to work with a number of people before that bill is heard, so that bill would be off the agenda tomorrow. So anyone who's concerned about it, see Representative Slawick. Representative Wolscheiger.
Oh, I was just going to say let bygones be bygones.
All right. Any further business? Seeing none, meeting is adjourned.